Stone Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's a fact. All right, so welcome back. We go to our third and final hour. Nice to have you here. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. We're jumping around, talked about the NLCS. We talked about the ALCS. I talked about the Knicks. You've got a nice Thursday night matchup tonight, which I will get into. All of that and this. We are joined right now by a World Series champion, an all-star, a 17-year Major League vet, president of the Cliff Floyd Foundation. He is an MLB Network analyst. You can watch Cliff across MLB Network's postseason programming, which is airing live before and after every single game, including on-site at the World Series, which gets underway on Tuesday. Cliff Floyd is my guest. Cliff, before we get into the postseason, it's been a minute or two since we've spoken. How you doing, man? How is life for you right now?
Man, all's good, man. No complaints. Just you know, doing what everybody's doing, bro. Just trying to get back some normalcy, bro. It's coming. It's coming, though.
My man, well said. It is coming.
You know, I ain't complaining. So I'm working. How about that?
Same. That's good. That's all good stuff. I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying, Jim? Grinding.
Got to grind, right? You have to grind. I get that. You always did. You always will. All right. So, Cliff, do me a favor. Take me back before we talk about what's ahead. If you were to go back to Game 3 of the NLCS, I'm curious, what were you thinking when Cody Bellinger turned on that high fastball in the eighth inning and tied that game up?
I thought, he's back. This is exactly what he needed. Exactly what I thought that moment. I'm so happy for him. I know that feeling. You have to erase the regular season. You have to do it when the postseason comes. So I was just ecstatic for him to be able to put everything behind him, man. And you know, you can see he's starting to feel better. You can see that shoulder was starting to allow him to do some of the things. But I always talk about, I mean, you know me, I always talk about adjustments on the fly, whether it be, in at bat or whatever you have to do in the field, whatever you have to adjust. And for him to go from hitting that, from swinging through that 97 mile an hour fastball right down the middle, to coming back and getting on top of 97 chi by his chin, I'm like, he understands where he's at, and that was a great moment for a former player to watch a guy grind through, being hurt, get back into favor with the organization and favor with Dave Roberts, confident-wise, and to do what he did.
Cliff Floyd is joining us. It's a great explanation by you, Cliff. And you even said prior to it happening, you thought that something good was going to happen, and then it did. You know, when you look at L.A., given how close they were in that moment to being down 3-0, then they get that huge emotional win to make it 2-1. What do you make of the way Atlanta, Cliff, showed up last night and jumped all over the Dodgers in the second inning?
Man, it's hard. You know, it's a whole unit. The one big thing, you always prepare. Game 56, you still have your hitters meeting. Game 80, you still have your hitters meeting, Jim. But the difference in the postseason is the communication throughout the whole game. Communication from pitch to pitch, talking amongst your boys in the dugout. It don't happen in game 56 or 70, but in the postseason it does. It just does. It's just every moment is like, let's sleep quick, get our butts back to this ballpark. We lost a tough one. Luke Jackson is our best reliever, or one of the best relievers we have down in that bullpen. Hats off to Cody for getting on top of that fastball. Let's sleep quick and get back here, have our meetings, get on the same page, and get after them. And that's what they did.
I love that phrase. Let's sleep quick and get back here and get back to work. Cliff Floyd, a World Series champion and all-star, a 17-year vet, is joining us. You know, Cliff, when you look at the Braves, they will tell you, like, everybody's quick to say, yeah, well, what about last year? And these guys, to a man, will say, yeah, what about last year? That was last year. This is this year. We are a very different crew this time around. Are they different in your mind this year?
They're different because the players are different. Yep. And I mean that in a way that you have different characters. Eddie Rosario wants to be a star. He wants to be the player that takes them to the World Series. You have to buy into that. You look at what they're doing without their stud player, Ronald Acuña Jr. You're like, well, who's stepping up? Who's going to be the guy? Austin Riley, that's my MVP. I've been saying it for a long time. People's like, are you crazy? I'm like, no, are you crazy? Because when you look at Austin Riley coming from left field, going over to the third base, doing his thing, this team is full of, I want to be the star. I want to be that guy. I love those type of players. When you look at that lineup through, you know, from top to bottom, it's length, it's strong. You have guys that You can say supporting cast players. If you had Ronald Acuña Jr., you would have probably somebody else on the bench. If you had Jorge Soler from the COVID list, you probably have. We probably wouldn't even see Eddie Rosario doing this if Jorge Soler was healthy. People don't even talk about that, Jim. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about what Snicker's doing with this lineup, it's constructive for me to the point where these guys are hungry enough to not even. They don't even think they think about last year. I really don't even think they think about it. I think they're gone from that in a position where they feel like we're going to go out here tonight, take care of business, and get back to the World Series. And they haven't been there since when? How long has it been? Since
1999.
I mean, that's been – I mean, you think about all these great Braves teams, and they haven't been there that long. These guys ain't thinking about that.
We're talking to Cliff Floyd. Cliff, I love that point you just made about that not only do you want a guy that wants to be the guy, but if you've got a clubhouse for those guys, you're not going to lose very often. Like Rosario made a point blank or said a point blank. Like, I want people to know what I'm about. I want to be that guy. I want to be here. Another guy, clearly, who I would say that about is Jock Peterson.
Man.
He's got that same it. Cliff, lay this out for me. Why is it, how can you explain that some guys literally live for those moments, and other guys really will never, ever thrive in those moments? How does that work?
It's a personality thing that, you know, you have to really think about what our sport is. And our sport is you're going to fail. You're going to fail at our sports. But the fear of failing is what consumes most of us. And I say most of us because I've been in that moment when you stink. There's nothing about me wanting to get on deck and go in that box. I'm just telling you, I'm keeping it 100.
I love that.
So when these cats come up and be like, oh, I want that moment, 3-2, you know, 2 hours. But no, you don't. You really don't. Some cats really don't. But when you think about Jock Peterson, when you watch him, Jim, does it look like anything, like, scares him? Or
nothing.
Like, gets under his skin? Like, he plays free. He understands where he's at. He's made the adjustments. He's getting close to the dish. He's changed his stance. And now he's saying, look, I went from playing every day to adjusting to a role that I might not like, but I'm okay with it. But he's put himself in a position where he can still be a star. And that in itself is enough for me to just hats off to him and cheer for him every time he plays the game.
We are talking to Cliff Floyd. He's breaking it all down for us. All right, Cliff, so finally, if you're Dave Roberts and you know you've come back from 3-1 before and did so against the same Braves team, but not the same Braves team, but did so last year, like, what is your message to your team tonight before a bullpen game when you're going against their ace?
You know what? I think the message is, boys, we've been here before. We just won the World Series last year. I know last year's last year. We dealt with adversity. They have just as much adversity as anybody else. I mean, you lost, you know, your clubhouse leader, your stud, you know, all-time guy, you know, Justin Turner. Obviously, Max Muncy is a glaring hole without him in the lineup. But so, you know, you can't cry over that. You got who's gonna step up? Chris Taylor, you go to third. You've been there. You're super utility. Cody Bellinger, you go out to center field. Take care of business. I, you know, you have to just say, as hard as it is, the next man up mentality is a must for them. Sometimes you say it and it's sort of eyewash and you don't really, you know, it's next man up mentality and you're like, yeah, well, who's the next man up? Who's the guy? Because there's no next man up. Then you're just talking outside your neck. So I think when you look at what they have the talent to be able to make up for what they don't have. Even though it's a huge loss, you still have great bodies to go fill those holes and be able to get back in this series. I know it's a bullpen day, but the Braves just beat you with the same philosophy. So return a favor to them and get back in this series.
I mean, I should have known better, Cliff. I really thought going into yesterday's game with Urias going a 20-game winner against the Braves on a bullpen day, things were great for L.A. But you see Urias, you could see it right from the very jump, right? He just was not himself. The ball didn't have that same kind of Urias sort of jump normally. Like, is that just a bad night, or is that what's going to happen if you bring a guy like that out of the bullpen and pitch him 4 times in 11 days?
And sometimes I think we think these guys are robots. I really do. I just think that you think – because they're so good and so talented that they can just grab the ball, high-leverage innings, high-leverage pitches every single time and go out there and be a star. It ain't happening that way. You had guys on the other side that's preparing for you. And you know what they're preparing for, Jim? For you not to be great. That's what we're praying for. We hoping that, you know, you come out there and have this look on your face that we sort of can feed off of and know that you're not feeling 100%, because if the ball come off the fingertips without the confidence that I've seen in the past of that guy in the regular season, then that's all we need. We only need an inch to take a mile. So you have to – you're fighting against guys who are chomping at the bit to get to you while they have a chance. We know when you at your when you're at your best, Max Scherzer and some of these other guys, Chris Sale, I'm not going to beat you when you're at your best. But if you give me a glimmer of hope, I got a shot at the title, we're going to take advantage of it. And that's what we've been seeing.
And guys know that, too. They know it. They see it. They understand it. Cliff Floyd joining me for another moment or two. This is such a great conversation, Cliff. Appreciate you so much. What about the ALCS before you go? If you could just jump into that really quickly. You know, how is it that you go from a series where Boston is dominating and they're up 2-1 and now they have to win a game 6 just to stay alive? How did that thing flip so quickly?
The Astros bats finally woke up and just said enough's enough. I mean, you have a game where you're sitting there 2-1. You have to win this game, right? And then floodgates open. They score, what, Jim, 7 runs in the 8th and 7-8 runs in the 8th and 9th inning to win that game. The thing about our game is one mistake, one extra out, anything that gives you just an opportunity to score a few more runs, it can happen with deep lineups. It can happen with really good ones. It's not just the 3, 4, 5 hitters of a lineup, and then it's like, well, you know, you can cruise through 6 through 9. No, it's not that easy. So when you look at these lineups with the length that they have, I think it just shows you that the Astros are for real. You can talk to you blue in the face about, well, you know, the Red Sox have set records and 10 hits and you know, 6 postseason games and all this stuff. Great. What have you done the last couple games? The Astros have turned this thing right back around. And it's because, as a group, they said enough's enough. They're attacking the strike zone. They don't care who's on the mound. And it starts in the first inning. And it's like, we're not going to stop until we just beat you down. And that's how they feel right now. And right now, they control this series.
Cliff, let me ask you really quickly. Like, you were making the point about Jose Altuve's home run that tied game 4. And you made the point that it came off a fastball from Garrett Whitlock. If you're Whitlock and you know you have a good fastball, but you also know that Altuve loves hitting fastballs, like, what is the decision-making process like there? Do you just say, my best is going to beat his best, or would it have been better to go with something else to start?
Well, first and foremost, that's how we eat. You know that, right? I mean, that's how we eat as hitters. Like, we hoping you think that your fastball can just beat me consistently. And we go back to game 2. He saw 7 of them. You threw him 7 fastballs. Jose Altuve, 7 fastballs. And he just missed one. One got in on him. So all he's doing is waiting to get his timing right. And once he got it, he was like, I'm good. I dare you to throw it. And I mentioned it because I'm like, don't you have to take him? You have to tell him, we know your fastball is good. We know you're one of the most dominant relievers in the game. We get it. You had a great year. But this is Jose Altuve. This is 21 homers in 71 games. This is 3rd all-time postseason, homers-wise. Like, you have to be able to throw him a wrinkle and then get you a fastball. I have no problems with you throwing a fastball, just not the first pitch. Have we not seen him swing at every first pitch of every first game? I mean, every start of a game? That's what he does. So I just thought you have to sort of, you know, get, you know, take these guys sometimes, you know, great fastballs, great success, and go, let's chill and let's figure out something else, because this guy is too good to just throw, split the plate with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. We saw what happened when he threw it.
All right, so the 4 remaining teams in the postseason, who do you think has the best chance to win it all?
That's a great question, man. You know, we had a great conversation, Jim, till you get to this, you know? I mean,
we're still going to have a great conversation, and it's going to end great, too. I know it is.
You know what? I'm telling you, man, the Astros seem like it's just something. I know people are like, man, here he go with this, but they just look different. I was waiting for him to look different, and now it's like, see, this is what it is. During the regular season, we were so talking about who's going to win the wild card. The Yankees was this. We had the wild card. I mean, we had the division going on in the West and the NL. It was all this talk, and it was like, oh wait, the Astros without Justin Verlander, without George Springer, with losing Gerrit Cole, without Lance McCullers Jr., and look where they are. I just think it's remarkable.
I do, too, and I'm not surprised by it. I think it's like you keep waiting, you keep waiting, you keep waiting, and then here the hell they are, man. They showed up, and they showed up at just the right time, whether we like it or not. And
yeah.
I agree with you. You see, and the only thing I disagree with, no, see, that interview is awesome, Cliff. It's always great when you come on, and it did end as well as it started. So you stand corrected, my man. It's
my
still
God.
A great interview. My God,
appreciate
dude, you are the
man.
Best, Cliff. I appreciate
right,
you
bro.
So much. That was great. Great talking to you, man. Thank you.
No doubt, you too.
You'd be good. I love Cliff Floyd. I'll just say it for the record. I love Cliff Floyd. Loved him as a player. Thought he was a badass player. Extremely intimidating. Clutch. And he is a tremendous analyst. Really insightful. Very real. Great energy. Good sense of humor. And I love hearing what he has to say. I could talk baseball with him for a long time. I want to remind you, you can watch Cliff across MLB Network's postseason programming, which is airing live before and after every game, including on-site at the World Series, starting on Tuesday. He is an MLB Network analyst. He is a World Series champ. He's an all-star and a 17-year Major League vet. And if you want to react to any of that, you go right ahead. That is a great conversation. Jonathan Jones is going to join me at 11:40 Pacific time, or in about 25 minutes from right now. Meaning the next segment is open for you. The killer crossovers, the nothing but net jumpers, the tenacious throwdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, basketball, in fact, is back. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Playing daily fantasy hoops is easy. Just pick your lineup of pro basketball ballers, stay under the salary cap, rack up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. Score big, and you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, it is the perfect time to show off your basketball IQ. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app, use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, and this week, new customers can get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once we get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. I want to say one more thing about Cliff Floyd. And if I'm still talking about an interview that ended moments ago, where I already made it clear how much I appreciated the guy and the interview, it tells you how much I appreciate the guy and the interview. The other thing that I want to say about him that I really like and admire. I love that Cliff loves the game and loves today's players. I love that Cliff is not one of those old trolls that comes back and gets a gig, you know, a former coach or a former player who's always complaining about the way the game is played today, today's players, back when we did it. He's not like that at all. You know, he'll share his experiences with you. And by the way, I love that not only does he share the experience, but he'll say things to you like, let me tell you something. When a guy's not going well and he's not feeling good about himself, he's lying out his ass when he says, I want to be in that on-deck circle. I want to be that guy. I want to be up there 3-2. No, you don't. He said, I'm telling you, I've been there. So I just love that this is a guy that played the game at an extremely high level, but he's not coming back as one of those guys who's a bitter man, who's hating on the game and hating on today's players. Like, you can tell, man, he's embracing all of it. He loves today's game, and he loves today's players. You can see in the way he talked about Cody Bellinger, like, I know what that guy went through. He wasn't right. His shoulder wasn't right. His swing wasn't right. And then he came through in that moment, and he flipped that narrative completely. He goes, I was so happy for him. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Really happy with that conversation. Cliff Floyd. All right, so really quickly, it's Thursday night. Lucky bleeping you, TNF. You heard me. Lucky bleeping you. The league has decided to grace you with the presence of their premier product. Yeah, I said it. America's team takes center bleeping stage. They're hosting Denver tonight from their pound. Now, I got to admit, America's team has not looked like that of late. America's team premier product will not be on the field tonight because they are busted the hell up. And they've been eating a lot of them hands. Them hands, them shoulder shrugs, calf kicks, knee bars, all of it. Look at the injured list. Baker Mayfield, shoulder. Nick Chubb, knee. Kareem Hunt, calf. All key offensive dudes who will not go tonight. You got a key wideout, Odell Beckham Jr., jacked up shoulder. He may or may not go. According to NFL Network, he's facing, quote, an uphill battle. And a lot of you are letting me hear about it all day, early and often. You think I'm done? Try me. I'm not. I could probably finish the rest of the program just running down the guys who are on Cleveland's injury report. It's not just the skill guys. Some of the big dudes up front. They're starting offensive tackles. Big Jed and Big Jack. Both inactive against Arizona. Still unclear whether or not they will suit up or go tonight. Although they both did go through limited work in their final practice, so that's a pretty good sign. And trust this, the Browns need them both. Case Keenum is starting. He needs them both. But considering Big Jack could also be the subject of a possible murder, then there's that. Not my words, but Von Miller's. Remember? Von Miller said, I don't know who's going to line up against me. I don't care who's going to line up against me. I want to kill somebody. Von's words, not mine. He said it. And think about Case Keenum for a minute. He's going from a really good situation, best backup situation in football, to this, right? It's a coach's dream to have the running game that they have. And they've got the NFL's best running game. They've got Nick Chubb. They've got Kareem Hunt. And they're averaging nearly 170 yards a game on the ground. That'd be a good thing for Case Keenum. Like, if you have to get thrown into the fire, that's a really good situation. Except he doesn't have either one of those guys. And that is a dream situation. Like, that's one of the best running back combinations, not only of the game today, and they are the best in my mind, but one of the best of a generation. I mean, I'm not even hot taking. They're really, really good. Extremely talented and ferocious and deep. And that would be an ideal situation for Case, but he doesn't have that tonight. So he is going to have to deal with a couple of guys that have almost no experience. But the Browns are depleted. So normally I would say this is the best thing ever. But what do you get? You get Denver. And Denver was 3-0. And Denver was getting a lot of heat or a lot of run. And there was a lot of hype behind them. Seriously, Bronco fan, exactly what happened to your team? You started 3-0. Now you're 3-3. What happened? Oh, I know. You weren't that good to begin with. You got fat on a favorable ass schedule. You beat up on scrubs. And now you're getting exposed. Yeah, I understand that good teams beat bad teams. You just were not nearly as good as folks thought you were. And that offense. Are you ever going to do anything about that offense? Sorry, Bronco fan. Even Teddy Bridgewater, who we all respect and all admire because of what he's overcome, took a big step backwards last week. And now, honestly, you're in the same exact spot that you've been in since Pinky retired back in 2015. Oh, and by the way, as much as I miss seeing him and the kid brother on Monday night, remember how weird and awkward things got with Pinky and Papa John when Pinky walked it off? Remember they got all amorous with it? That was weird, man. Not awkward at all.
Awkward?
Just like those lick races with little bro weren't awkward at all. I mean, Bronco fan, really, where do you go from here? What's next? If Case Keenum plays really well tonight, are you going to sign him next? Oh, that's right. You already did. Back in 2018. My bad.
Thank you to John Elway.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Bronco fan is well past losing interest. Yes, you're banged up, but not as badly as America's team is banged up. My point is, if the Broncos cannot get a dub against these guys tonight, when they're this busted up, they're this bruised, they're this bloodied, who are you going to get one against? Yeah, I know. Herb and the other two New York teams. That's about it. And as for all you haters coming at me all day, every day, tweeting and emailing me about my allegiance to America's team and how I should get the hell off the bandwagon, I again have a message for y'all. Get the hell out of here with that. 2 weeks of playing shorthanded against two young superstar quarterbacks in Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray has not shaken my belief. I'm not going to turn tail and run. I'm not going to jump. I'm not going to bust out. Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? Bobby Petrino, you are.
Who do you think you are? I am. David Wright.
Think I'm going to leave you a note on your locker in the middle of the night? Leave half my face on the pavement? Lay my hog on its side? And the co-ed who was on the backside of it? Tan smack, don't play like that. And get out of here with that. I'm not getting off this bandwagon. I'm still driving it. I was here before it was cool, and I'm not going anywhere. Man, if anything, I'll be sitting front seat, going face first off that cliff before I jump off that thing.
Right in my face.
Get in while you can, bros. Because America's team is here to compete with whoever and whatever is left and can take the field. Get some ball on a Thursday night. And America's team, or what's left of it. Man, if you think that I'm going to abandon them or that fight, you got the wrong dude. Man, you know who your real friends are when it starts to hit the fan. You know who's going to plant their feet and stand in and trade. And you know who's going to turn tail and run. And I'm not running. Not dead, can't quit. I'm still going to ride with the Browns because sometimes a wounded animal is the most dangerous animal.
I am dangerous.
Don't sleep on these guys. They'll find a way. When we come back, Jonathan Jones, a senior NFL reporter for CBS Sports, is going to join me. We'll talk some more ball and wrap this thing. I want to direct you to episode 194 of the Jim Rohn Podcast with Mitchell Schwartz. I had not run him down since 2020. We had never done it in long form. It's really fun. So you want to look for that after the show. Right now, here's your sports update.
Who's staying up all night?
A lot of you were referencing Cliff Floyd saying, "Hey man, I'm not going to talk out of the side of my neck." It's a great line. He had a lot of great one-liners. And then a lot of you took that great line and wrecked it by talking about Mike Glennon and the giraffe family, which does not exist. There is no Raff family. There is no rat family. Stop getting me to try to comment on something that does not exist. Back to the show. We are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter. He's an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Previously worked for the Charlotte Observer. He was a national NFL writer at Sports Illustrated. He's a good friend of the program. He is Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Good, good, dude. Thank you so much for doing it. Great to have you back. Let me start first with these reports about the possible deal for Deshaun Watson to Miami and some other suggestions that it might be a three-team deal that would send Tua to Washington. Why don't we start, Jonathan, with the second part of that first. What have you heard about Tua possibly going to Washington?
Yeah, I've heard that Washington is not whatsoever involved in any potential trade that would involve Tua Tagovailoa ending up in Washington. They don't have interest in Tua. I think that his injury history and certainly his current injury susceptibility does not make this a viable option for the Washington football team. They are upset at their quarterback situation, make no mistake about it, but they do not, I believe that Tua Tagovailoa will fix their current quarterback situation in the short or long term.
All right, then. So you've also reported that Miami has been the front runner to get Watson for a while because while they're the team that would trade for him before the deadline, but are they at all concerned about the investigation into Watson and his eligibility? What are their thoughts on that?
They absolutely are concerned about it, and obviously that's the main reason that this hasn't gotten done. That and the Texans' high asking price, of course, it'd be a normal asking price for Deshaun Watson coming off the season that he had last year if this very serious off-the-field matters were not taking place. So the Texans, I do not believe, have come down off their price, which is something like 3 first-round picks and some equivalent of 2 twos. Doesn't necessarily have to mean 5 exact draft picks, but something that equates to that in terms of players and draft picks. But when you look at the Miami Dolphins, they are the last dance partner here for the Houston Texans. They have been the last partner dating back to the end of training camp. The Carolina Panthers pulled themselves out of the running. If Deshaun Watson ever really wanted to go there, they pulled themselves out of the running 6 weeks ago. The Philadelphia Eagles, I don't think, were ever seriously considered by Deshaun Watson. Remember, he has the no-trade clause. He wants to be with the Miami Dolphins. My reporting tells me that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, is very interested, extremely interested, in Deshaun Watson becoming their quarterback, and then the Dolphins then have to decide, you know, is this a move that will help the Dolphins long-term, not knowing what his playing status will be in 2021? I believe the Dolphins have not heard anything from the NFL, anything officially from the NFL about whether he'd be able to play this year or not. But all that said, they are certainly looking to 2022 when, if they were to wait after this trade deadline, Jim, and they wanted to go and try to get him at the start of the league year in March, when you would think that his legal troubles would be concluded, whatever way they would be concluded, more teams would be involved in the quote-unquote sweepstakes for Deshaun. The price could then go up. He could want to go elsewhere. That's why I think and believe the Dolphins want to get this done now.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. All right, very well said. So if they were to get this done sooner or then even later, how do you like the fit of Watson in Miami? Is that a good fit for him and for what they're trying to do offensively?
I don't know what they're trying to do offensively, and I don't know that they know what they're trying to do offensively. Brian Flores has hired and fired, 3 offensive coordinators at this point. Their offensive line, they drafted Austin Jackson. They've tried to piece it together in free agency and through the draft. That's not working. They wanted to get speed at the wide receiver position. That's sort of coming and going. Probably spent too much to make sure that they could get Jaylen Waddle and giving up that first-round draft pick in the future to the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, a guy like Deshaun covers up a lot of issues. I go back to last week out in London. You know, Tua Tagovailoa did not lose them that game, the Miami Dolphins. He played pretty well. But the fact is, and this is what's true of Deshaun Watson, and it's true of 7 or 8 other quarterbacks, he could have been in that game, and even though Tua played well, he could have lifted all of the other boats where there were so many issues for the Miami Dolphins against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Dolphins could have won that game just simply because they had a top 8 quarterback in the NFL in Deshaun Watson. That's what you get there, where a player like that can overcome bad coaching, on any given Sunday, not every week. And so that's what they want and need is the coaching staff surely is not sure of themselves. The personnel certainly is not what it needs to be. But a quarterback in the NFL, a great quarterback, can fix a lot of issues.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, Jonathan, Cam Newton recently mentioned that he has been vaccinated. Pete Carroll said that they had spoken with Newton. Could you see a team taking a chance and bringing him in?
For an actual contract, it's hard for me to see that right now. I think that you would, and this is Cam's own admission on one of his Friday videos that he posts to YouTube about his aura and the reason that he believes he's no longer with the New England Patriots, that his aura, his persona, who he is difficult to come into a locker room and be a backup, that coaches wouldn't necessarily like that the starter or incumbent would be looking over his shoulder, and so that makes it difficult for Cam. Now he's vaccinated, and I do think that his vaccine status had something to do with him no longer being employed by the New England Patriots, even though Bill Belichick and the Patriots would, of course, never say that. So that takes care and sort of checks one box. But where is he going to go where the starter, the entrenched starter, will ultimately come back? Because if you're the Seattle Seahawks, I'd rather ride with Geno Smith for these couple of weeks than try to get Cam up to speed after he hasn't been practicing professionally or competitively the last 6 weeks. I'd rather ride with Geno, who's been in my system, and get to the other side of the bye when Russell Wilson is coming back, rather than hope that Cam can get it figured out, roll him out there, and then, oh, a week later, Russell Wilson and his thumb are ready to go. So until there is a team that is willing to take on Cam's, take on a contract for Cam that will pay him more than $1.5 million, prorated, depending on where he is in the season, and when their incumbent is out for the year, unless those two things happen, I don't see Cam being employed by anyone anytime soon.
Hmm. Jonathan Jones joining us. Listen, before you go, I want to ask about something that you wrote about last week. If Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps for the Colts this season, Indy has to send their first-round pick to Philadelphia. The Colts are currently 2-4, Jonathan. Wentz has played better in the last two games, but if they keep struggling from a record standpoint, could you see the team sitting him in order to keep that pick?
It's hard to say, and he's playing really well right now, especially the past 2 weeks, some of the best ball that he's played in the last couple of years. But you have to look at your situation if you're Indianapolis, and they have a tough game coming up against the Niners, then they have the Titans. And that game against the Titans, you know, the Titans are now 4-2, they're 2-4. If they lose to the Titans, they're not getting into the playoffs as a wild card. You have to start playing out the percentages and the odds here. And once you get to week 10, week 11, when they face the Buffalo Bills, the Indianapolis Colts do, you then have to say, all right, do we want to play Carson Wentz right now, or do we really want our top 10 or top 15 draft pick for the future? And a GM in Chris Ballard, a head coach in Frank Reich, who just signed three-year contract extensions, they would have the comfort of sitting Carson Wentz and playing for the future. Hey, we want to see what Sam Ellinger has. And put him out there. It's a difficult, difficult thing to do when you have to look your locker room in the face. But that top 12 or so draft pick may just be worth it if this season is lost. You just have to make that call before the season is officially lost, and that's a really hard thing for football people to do.
I think it's a really interesting conversation. Jonathan Jones joining us. Earlier this season, you wrote a piece about life for the Steelers after Ben Roethlisberger. Given what the draft class looks like right now, how do you see Pittsburgh proceeding with that?
Great question, and they know that Mason Rudolph isn't the answer. Dwayne Haskins will get some sort of shot, you'd have to imagine. But there's not a draft class, a guy that you'd take in the top 10 right now. And maybe one will emerge, and I always kind of roll my eyes because every year you say, wow, this draft class isn't going to be very good. And then out of nowhere, Joe Burrow shows up. And then out of nowhere, right, Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman and goes number one overall. So I always just kind of wait a little bit. There is no Trevor Lawrence in this draft class. We understand that. But it is not shaping up to be a draft class that you really want to take somebody in the top 10. So what do the Pittsburgh Steelers do? They say, hey, we have a fantastic players head coach in Mike Tomlin. Like we heard Aaron Rodgers talk about, we have a city and a fan base that loves its team. We have continuity and stability, and we have one of the best defensive players in the entire NFL and a pretty solid defense. So come here. We know how to draft and acquire wide receivers. We have a first-round running back, and our offensive line is beginning to figure it out. And when you look around, you have Russell Wilson, who probably will not be in Seattle next year. Aaron Rodgers is probably not going to be in Green Bay, though he may be in Denver. We're going to see where Deshaun Watson winds up. But there, the point being, there will be a quarterback carousel in this offseason, and it's already starting to spin. And I think your best bet, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, this sort of ready-made team in a great division, the AFC North, you don't start over in the draft. You go ahead and get a guy that has 5 to 7, maybe even 10 years left in the tank, and bring him on, because that's who you are as the Pittsburgh Steelers. You are a desirable place for a free agent or a player who wants to be traded, and I think that that's the route that the Steelers should go.
All right, so if you were a betting man, where do you think Aaron Rodgers does end up next year?
The Denver Broncos. I think that he wants to be over on that side of the country. Obviously, the teams in California have their quarterback situations figured out for the foreseeable future. And the Denver Broncos have been interested, continue, I believe, to be interested. And they know that Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, neither one of those guys, they're going to be retiring their jerseys anytime soon. And so you make the move for an Aaron Rodgers, again, with that defense, with the wide receivers that you have, and with that fantastic home field advantage that you have being a mile up in the air. That's what Aaron Rodgers, I believe, wants to do, and I think it's palatable to the Green Bay Packers, getting him out of the NFC and not sending him to a Philadelphia, right? For example, I think an AFC team, a place that he wants to go, a place that is going to have the money to pay him as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL on an average annual salary basis. It will eclipse Patrick Mahomes' deal. I 100% believe that. I think it would be the Denver Broncos.
Huh. And then finally, what about Russ? Where would he end up?
I could see perhaps a Philadelphia. I'm not reporting that, but you could see that Philadelphia is out on Jalen Hurts, and that's pretty obvious. So where could he go? Well, they have the draft capital, certainly. If the Colts continue to play Carson Wentz, they're going to have three draft picks potentially in the top 10, top 12 of the draft. With that sort of capital, you can go out and get just about any quarterback that wants to come play for you. And so depending on how they want to use that this upcoming season, I think they could get and go out and get a Russell Wilson who wants to be in a major metropolitan area. Philadelphia does fit that. They need a quarterback. It fits that. And they have enough to give the Seattle Seahawks in order to acquire him.
My man, so much good information. A senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. That's Jonathan Jones closing the show for us. Jonathan, thanks so much. I really appreciate you. Great job.
Appreciate you.
Good job, my man. Jonathan Jones is so good. Really good information. Good insight, good intel. Huge call today brought to you by Dell. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you, ready to give you advice on everything from Windows laptops to the cloud to keep your small business ready for what is next. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. All right, those are three really good books. Jonathan Jones, Cliff Floyd, Kevin Byard. If I did not get to your telephone call, sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. Didn't take any. Maybe tomorrow. Probably tomorrow. See you then. Have a great day. We're out.